We're going to be looking today at Psalm 46, and we're going to be looking at winning or whining. As you go through this life, if you look to the Lord for your source of strength and hope, you're going to win, one way or the other. Life might be difficult, but you are going to win. On the other hand, if you take your eyes off the Lord and you look at your problems, you're going to start whining about everything that's wrong, and you're not going to learn the wonderful lessons God has for you. So today we're going to read Psalm 46, 1 through 11. And this psalm is written to the children of Judah, the nation of Judah, as the Assyrian army in 701 B.C., so 700 years before the birth of our Lord, they had trouble too. The Assyrian army is coming down. They've just taken the nation of Israel captive, and they spread them all over the empire. They're going to be slaves. And now they're coming for Judah. And this is the psalmist's answer of what God's up to. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he's brought upon the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Father, help us to learn the lesson that the nation of Judah learned 700 years before our Lord was ever born, that you, God, are in charge. No matter what's happening, we can look to you with radiant faces, expecting you to be our shield and our rampart. And Father, we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The Assyrians are coming down. They have defeated almost the entire Mediterranean world. They are a ruthless army. They've just taken the nation of Israel captive. Those people, great amounts of death, great amounts of desolation in the northern tribes, and now they're coming to Jerusalem. Humanly speaking, there is no way the nation of Judah can beat this army. But praise the Lord, we as Christians don't have to say and stay just humanly speaking. And neither did the nation of Israel. Judah, having been through some really poor leaders, and every nation has that. We have great leaders who bring us back to fellowship with the Lord and leaders who take the nation away from the Lord. If you remember back just a couple years ago, remember what the big thing was? Gay rights. Everybody the same. Gay marriage. We're going to push this stuff. We're going to teach your kids in school. What's happening now? We've got a different leader, and we're getting those people out of the military. Because why? Because they mess everything up. I hate to say it, but that's just life. We have good leaders and bad leaders. Good leaders lead us towards God and His Word. Bad leaders take us away from God and His Word. And before Hezekiah became the king, and this is 701 B.C., Hezekiah is the king. And you had a string of very bad leaders in Israel. They had led the people away from the things of the Lord and into idolatry. Along comes Hezekiah, 25 years old, when he becomes king, and he wants to be a godly king. He gets rid of the idols. He brings the nation back into fellowship with God, and then trouble hits. We think when we get saved, I've trusted the Lord, everything ought to go great now. That's not always the way it works, folks. Hezekiah had brought revival to the land. The people are really solidly following the Lord now. But even when you solidly follow the Lord does allow trouble in our lives. But he doesn't allow it for no reason. He has a purpose here. We're going to follow the story to find out the purpose. In 2 Kings 18:1, it says, in the third year of Hosea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. He removed the high places, smashed the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah poles. He broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made, for up to that time the Israelites had been burning incense to it. It was called Nehushtan. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord and did not stop following him. He kept the commands the Lord had given Moses, and the Lord was with him. He was successful in whatever he undertook. He rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. From watchtower to fortified city, he defeated the Philistines as far as Gaza and his territory. So it sounds like Hezekiah is doing a great job, and he was. But again, that does not mean there's not going to be trouble. The Lord has specific reasons why he allows trouble, even in the lives of those that are diligently serving him. The people of Judah realized that the Assyrians had defeated every nation they ever attacked. Didn't matter who their God was, didn't matter what they did to fortify themselves, nation after nation is just dropping before the Assyrians. They attempted a shrewd deal when they came to Jerusalem. The rest of Judah was already in captivity, and now the Assyrian army is right at the gates of Jerusalem, and the people are on the walls looking down on this attacking army. And in 2 Kings 18:28, it says, then the commander, this is of the Assyrian army, stood and called out in Hebrew, hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. This is what the king says. Do not let Hezekiah deceive you. He cannot deliver you from my hand. Do not let Hezekiah persuade you to trust in the Lord when he says the Lord will surely deliver us. This city will not be given into the hands of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah. This is what the king of Assyria says. Make peace with me and come out to me. Then each of you will eat fruit from your own vine and fig tree and drink water from your own cistern until I come and take you to a land like your own, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive trees and honey. Choose life and not death. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for he is misleading you when he says, the Lord will deliver us. When they tell you don't listen to the Lord, and that's what we've been told for years. Our nation started out a Christian nation. We were based on the Old Testament and the New Testament, and for years our nation walked with God. And then we began gradually from about the 1955, 1960, from that time till this time, we've had a gradual slide away from the things of the Lord. And now we're beginning to come back. Folks, next week we're going to be talking about our nation at the divided road. And we're there. And you better understand it. You better be praying for our nation. We are in perilous times. And so next week we're going to talk about that. But right now, Hezekiah needs help. The king of Assyria, through his proxy, has said, don't listen to King Hezekiah, and for sure don't listen to Jehovah God, because you are going to die if you don't surrender. Folks, Satan does the same thing to us, doesn't he? There is no hope unless you do it my way. Folks, our God has given us precious promises in his book, and he's promised to meet all of our needs himself. We don't have to shortcut it. We don't have to look a different direction. Isaiah and another prophet named Micah are at that same time in history. And God used Isaiah to help Hezekiah and the people of Israel with their faith. In 2 Kings 19:1, here's what happens. When King Hezekiah heard this, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth, and he went into the temple of the Lord. He set Eliakim, the palace administrator, Seneba, the secretary and the leading priest, all wearing sackcloth, to the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos. They told him, this is what Hezekiah says. This day is a day of distress and rebuke and disgrace, as when children come to the moment of birth and there's no strength to deliver them. It may be that the Lord your God will hear all the words of the field commander, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to ridicule the living God, and that he'll rebuke him for the words the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, pray for the remnant that still survives. When King Hezekiah's officials came to Isaiah, Isaiah said to them, tell your master, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid of what you've heard. Those words which the underlings of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Listen, when he hears a certain report, I'll make him want to return to his own country, and there I will have him cut down with the sword. Folks, Hezekiah did what we ought to do. When you hit a hard time, don't try to figure it out yourself. Don't get all worried and tense. Don't be a whiner because this is all against me. No, it's not. God works everything he promises us in Romans 8:28. By the way, before I quote that verse, I want you to think for a minute. How many promises has God given us in his word? Do you know that it's more than 7,000? More than 7,000 promises are yours. One of those promises is that our God works everything for the good of those that do two things. For the good of those that love him, and for the good of those that are called according to his purpose. Not my purpose, not your purpose, his purpose. Hezekiah took this in prayer to the Lord. That's what we need to do. In 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 10, say to Hezekiah, king of Judah, do not let the God you depend on deceive you when he says Jerusalem will not be given into the hands of the king of Assyria. Surely you've heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the countries, destroying them completely. And will you be delivered? Did the gods of the nations that were destroyed by my predecessors deliver them? The gods of Gozan, Haran, Resef, and the people of Eden who were in Tel Assar? Where is the king of Hamath or the king of Arphad? Where are the kings of Lyre, Seraphim, Hena, and Iva? Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it. Then he went to the temple of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are the God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Give ear, Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, Lord, and see. Listen to the words that a scriber has sent to ridicule the living God. It is true, Lord, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste these nations and their lands. They've thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them, for they were not gods, but only wood and stone fashioned by human hands. Now, Lord our God, deliver us from his hand, so that all the kings of the earth may know that you alone, Lord, are God. Folks, those are reassuring words, and Hezekiah and the people of Israel need some reassuring words. So we don't have to worry about everything. God himself will lift us up. And it says, Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers, and he read it. Then he went up to the temple of the Lord, and he spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You've made heaven and earth. Give ear, Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, Lord, and see. Listen to the words the Sennacheriber has sent to ridicule the living God. It is true, Lord. The Assyrian kings have laid waste these nations and their lands. They've thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them. For they were not gods, but only wood and stone fashioned by human hands. Now, Lord our God, deliver us from his hand, so that all the kings of the earth may know that you alone, Lord our God. Hezekiah took his concerns to his Lord. Instead of whining about what was going on, he said, Lord, you're the only hope we have. The sad thing for most of us is that's the last resort we take. We try to figure things out. We try to worry things out. We complain about things, but we don't take our problems to our Lord. He tells us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, he says, we can come boldly right to the throne of grace to get the help and the grace we need in our times of need. Folks, this is a great pattern to follow. You are going to have times of need, and there's going to be no answer apart from the Lord. Don't wait to go to him. Don't complain about what's going on. Go to the Lord and lay it out for him. He can help. There's only so much anybody else can do. Now, we can help one another, but we certainly don't have the answers for everything that's going on. But the Lord does. The very night, the Lord brings deliverance. The very night that Hezekiah prayed, it says in 2 Kings 19, verse 35, that night, the angel of the Lord, and when you studied the Old Testament, every time you see the name, the angel of the Lord, that is Jesus Christ himself, pre-incarnate. That night, the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 in the Assyrian camp. When the people got up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke camp and withdrew. He returned to Nineveh and stayed there. One day, while he was worshiping in the temple of his god Nisroch, his sons Adammelech and Shezer killed him with the sword, and they escaped to the land of Arad. Esarhaddon, his son, succeeded him as king. You see, the Lord is in control. The Lord can change your situation in an instant. Does he always do it? No, he does not always do that. Sometimes he does even better than that. Folks, he's promised to meet every need you and I have. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. God has promised to supply every need you're ever going to have. Satan says, you can't trust that. You need to do it my way. No, we don't. We don't have to go his way. Psalm 46 is a song of praise to God for his deliverance. As we go through Psalm 46, I'm praying that you catch the idea that God is going to supply every need you have. You need to come to him in prayer. You need to commit your way to the Lord. In Psalm 46:1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, and ever present help in trouble. Have you ever noticed when you get into trouble, I mean, things just aren't going right, how all your close friends seem to get a little bit distant? Do you know God does exactly the opposite? When you and I get into trouble, He's right there. He draws close to us. As of the Hebrew word for refuge, God is our refuge and strength, invokes a quiet place of protection. We can enter into the holy place of God anywhere you are. You don't have to go to the temple. You don't have to go to the church. You don't even have to go in your prayer closet. I can't tell you how many times on the assembly line at Plant 2, Saginaw Steringer, when I was on the assembly line, that I met with God. And he spoke to me. And I spoke to him, and he delivered me. Folks, this is so important. You don't have to be the king. You can be a mother that's having trouble with a child. You can be a dad that's losing your job. All those things are real, and we all need the Lord's help at those times. So the idea is sprinkled throughout the entire Old Testament that when trouble hits, our Lord Jesus said, in this world, you, me too, are going to have trouble. But he didn't stop there. He said, take heart, I've overcome the world. And because we're in Christ, guess what that means? We are going to overcome this world. Yeah, we're going to have a lot of trouble before we get home, but we are going to get home. And then things are going to be perfect. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27 says, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will drive out your enemies before you, saying, destroy them. Folks, the Lord is your everlasting refuge. He'll hold you up. The Bible says if God loved you enough to let his son die for you, won't he along with him give you all things? Everything that's good for you, he's going to give it. In Psalm 91, verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Psalm 18, verse 2, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. We need to learn to turn our troubles over to the Lord because he can do things we can't do. We can't control the weather. God can. I can't control volcanoes, but God can. I can't stop atomic war, but God can if he chooses to. God is an accessible refuge. In Job chapter 5, verse 7, it says, yet man is born to trouble as surely as sparks fly upward. Now, the word trouble, we're all a little bit older in this room. I don't need to explain to you what trouble is. You know what trouble is. You've had a lot of it already. Yes, there's more to come. But God is our refuge in our times of trouble. We can go to him for the help we need. And that's what this whole 46th Psalm is about. The children of Israel have just been delivered, and now they're praising God for his refuge. Psalm 46, verse 1 again says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. If you've got the whole Assyrian army around the little town of Jerusalem, probably 7,000 to 8,000 people that live there, and now, of course, everybody there is there, so there might be 50,000 or 80,000 people in this little teeny town, and you've got 150,000 men around you, you've got a problem. These people are delivered an ever-present help. Yes, your friends may depart from you when you get into trouble, but God is ever-present with every single one of his children. He will not deny you. Exactly what God told Moses when he got into a tight place is look to the Lord for your help. The help of men is futile. The help of the Lord will get the job done. In Exodus 33, verse 12, Moses said to the Lord, you've been telling me, lead these people, but you've not let me know whom you'll send with me. You've said, I know you by name, and you've found favor with me. If you're pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember, this nation is your people. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you. I will give you rest. Folks, that same promise is yours. In the New Testament, the promise is, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. We have the same promise. In Psalm 46, verse 2 now, therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way. Let me ask you, yesterday, when you heard that we dropped those huge bombs into Iran, did that just kind of quake your life just a little bit? Are you thinking, oh man, I hope Russia doesn't get involved. Oh man, I hope some other nation. Folks, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, we don't worry. We don't fret. Why? Because absolutely, I believe this with all my heart. I hope you do too. Absolutely nothing can happen on this earth unless my God allows it. If he allows it, he's allowing it for the good of his people. Could it cause pain? It sure could, man. Some of our soldiers may die in this. I don't know. But what I do know is God is in charge. The Assyrian army is not in charge. The Russian army or the Chinese army or even the army of the United States, we're not in charge. God's in charge. And no matter what's going on in your life, we can trust him. Those of us that have been a little longer on this earth, the earth is the oldest thing we know of, physically speaking. The same earth that we're walking on today is the same earth, almost identical to what Moses walked on, to what Jesus Christ walked on, to what your great-great-grandparents walked on, and now you're walking on it. God has sustained life all these years. Everybody thought, oh, this is the end, this is the end. No, it's not the end. God has a plan. God has a timetable. He's laid it out. If you doubt that, read the book of Revelations. You'll see it very clearly. God has a plan. Back in 1957, when I delivered newspapers, I missed one of my paper route people. And a little old lady, when I got back with her paper, this is 1957, she said, don't you realize the Russians could drop an atomic bomb anytime? I need my paper. Folks, worry, worry, fret. We don't have to live that way. My God's in charge. Nothing is going to happen to our country until God says it's time for it to happen. I'm going to rest in him. Jeremiah 32, verse 27, God asked a wonderful question. He says, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? There's only one right answer. No, Lord, nothing is too hard for you. It's way too hard for me, but it's not too hard for you. When you get that kind of faith, you stop worrying and fretting and you stop whining and you start to say, Lord, in the midst of this confusion, in the midst of this problem, what would you have me do? Because my life is about your glory. My life is not about my car, my house, my whatever. It's about you. It takes your mind off all the little worries of this life, and it redirects everything so that in the midst of everything, we can rejoice. God's still on the throne. Yes, there was a couple bombs dropped on the nuclear power places, but God's still on the throne. We can rest in him. In Philippians 4:19, another one of those 7,000 wonderful promises. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. I'm going to be 78 years old this year, just another 4 days, I think it is, Thursday. God has provided every meal I've needed when I couldn't do it myself. When I was a baby, God took care of it through my parents. When I became a young man, God took care of it through my employment. Now I'm getting to be an older man, and I'm going to say, Lord, how are you going to take care of this? Well, he's going to take care of it. I don't have to worry and fret. God's in charge. In John chapter 4, verse 13, Jesus makes an interesting statement. I've read there are four things that we need for life, and Jesus says one of those things is water. He says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it." Folks, that's quite a promise, isn't it? If you ask something in Jesus' name and it's according to his will, he's going to do it. It's a wonderful promise. It's for every child of God. In John 7, verse 37, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. What does that mean to you? It means this world is rushing around like little puppets, scared to death, and you can be that living water. Because the Holy Spirit is in you, and he's flowing through you, and you can bring peace to people. You can bring the literal peace of God. Yes, people are going to die. But if they've got Christ as their Savior, where are they going? They're going to heaven. Death has no fear for the Christian. God was with the nation of Judah, and he said in Psalm 46, verse 4, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms are falling. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Do you understand that same God that was with the nation of Judah is with you? You are today more than a conqueror over Satan and all the demons and all the efforts of this world to take you out of the love of Christ. You're in. And nothing can separate us from that love. We are going to win. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three children of Israel, were thrown into the burning fiery furnace, were they in danger? Not a bit. Why? I want to read you this. To me, this is exciting. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 24, "Then King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement, and he asked his advisors, 'Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?' They replied, 'Certainly, your majesty.' He said, 'Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like the son of the gods.' Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, 'Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here.' So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. And the satraps, perfect governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, 'Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command, and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decreed the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble. For no other God can save in this way.'" Folks, it doesn't matter what trouble you're in. If you'll just keep trusting the Lord, he's going to keep you safe. It's not going to harm you. I'm not going to say it's not going to hurt, but it's not going to harm you. Why? Because God's going to work every single thing he allows to touch you to be for your good, to be a blessing to you and to your family. If God is for you, who can be against you? And the answer is nobody, not successfully. In Hebrews 13:5, It says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? And that's a good question, isn't it? What can people do to you? They can bankrupt you. They can take your life. They can throw you in jail. But what does that do to you? It just gets you closer to home. Folks, you're not going to get out of this life alive unless the Lord Jesus Christ comes in our lifetime. I'm going to die physically. Does it really matter if it's 20 years down the line or next week? Not to me. I'm happy, the Lord. I'm very content. When the Lord's time is right, he's going to take me home. And that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. Our Lord wants us to have rejoicing in the situation we're in and to look at the future with confidence. In Proverbs 31, it talks about the woman that fears the Lord. And it says she looks at the future, and what does she do? She laughs. How can she look at the future when we're almost ready to go to war and laugh? Because God's in charge. My God is in charge. Your God. If it's Jehovah God, Lord of Lords and King of Kings, he's in charge. Nothing's going to happen unless it's for your good. In Psalm 46, verse 7, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he's brought upon the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. Paul, our brother, almost every time we meet, says, pray that there'll be no more shooting, no more wars. Folks, there is going to come a time when there's going to be no more shootings, no more wars. And we rejoice in that. But in the meantime, God has a purpose for the shooting and for the wars. It's all part of his plan. He says wars and rumors of wars are going to be with you until the very end. Get used to it. Don't get scared by it. Rejoice because your God is in charge. He's going to work it out exactly the way he wants it to work out, and it's going to be good. It's always good when the Lord's in charge. In Psalm 46, verse 10, he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Folks, be still. Learn to wait upon the Lord. Be content until he moves. And when he moves, you're going to be rejoicing. In Isaiah 40, verse 28, another one of these wonderful promises, he says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the end of the earth. He'll not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those that hope in the Lord, and I hope that's you, I hope that's where you're, not in Donald Trump. I like Donald Trump a lot, but there's problems with him too. My hope is not in Donald Trump. It's not in our Senate. It's not in our House. It's not in the Supreme Court. My hope is in the Lord. He says, but those that hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not be faint. When we seek our safety in the Lord, he's going to take care of us. He's promised to get us all home safe. Folks, we can't go wrong trusting in the Lord. When the Lord seems silent, the Lord wants us to know he's waiting for the proper time. There's a proper time for every activity under heaven, the Bible tells us. I don't know when that time is. And sometimes I get a little anxious. Lord, yesterday would have been good. Today, for sure, I can't wait till tomorrow. But folks, you can. And God will be there tomorrow too. And when he moves, you're going to be excited. Imagine getting up that next morning after Hezekiah has prayed, and you look over the wall, and all you see are dead bodies. God did that in one night. The angel of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, went through that camp and killed all the soldiers. He had told Hezekiah, Sennacherib is going to go back to his own land, and I'm going to take him out too. Folks, it doesn't matter who your enemy is. When they stand against the child of God, they become the enemies of God. Remember what Jesus said to the Apostle Paul when he was still Saul? He said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm the Lord who you're persecuting. Jesus is already in heaven. Who was Saul persecuting? He was persecuting Christians just like us. And the Lord said, because you're persecuting them, you're persecuting me. We are part of the body of Christ. He's going to take care of his own. He wants you to learn how to rest. You don't have to carry the world's concerns. You have a God that invites you to come to the throne of grace, bring your problems just like Hezekiah did, explain your problems to the Lord, ask him for help. He's more than able. He's waiting for you to come, no matter what the problem is. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, it says, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. What does that mean to you and I today? God is with me. He's with me in this church. He's going to be with me when I go out of this church. When I go to work tomorrow on my hospice job, God's going to be with me. He's going to be with me all the days of my life. And that he's taken me home to be with him forever. We don't have to fret like others fret. We have a Lord whose name is Emmanuel. God is with us. He's with us all the time. We live by faith, not by sight or by feeling. Often in your life, it's going to feel like the Lord's way away. But he's not. He's right there with you. He's intimately concerned about everything that concerns you. And he's more than able. Father God, help us as your children to rejoice in the fact that we serve the God who is, the God who was, and the God who is to come. We don't have to worry and fret because your word has laid out very clearly for us your plan for all of history. Because history, Lord, really is his story. It's you. You wrote it before the world began. You told us exactly how it's going, and you told us you're going to get us home safe. Father, help us like Hezekiah to spread our problems out before you and to wait expectantly because you are a God who saves. And Lord, we're going to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.